welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levillier. Sitcoms in this hour. Later on, it's The Bickersons from 1951. But first, The Mel Blanc Show, a sitcom that had a relatively short run but featured one of America's most popular voice actors, the voice behind many Looney Tunes characters. The CBS broadcast from October 8, 1946.
From Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, presents The Mel Blanc Show.
I lawnmower needs sharpening. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
My percolator top is cracked. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Oh, my stocking has a run in it. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
My wife's going to have a baby. I got to take her to Mel Blanc's to the hospital.
Tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Earl Ross, Joe Kern, Zookie, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and as the star in his own Fix-It Shop, Mel Blanc. Now let's pay a visit to the town where Mel Blanc lives. It's like most towns in the United States, except for one thing. It's got Mel Blanc. That's what makes it a lot different. Well, let's drop in on Mel Blanc in his Fix-It shop. It's a bright, sunshiny day, and Mel is busily working away on something.
Well, I sure straightened out that safety pin. Let's see now, what else is there?
Well, good morning, Melvin.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Cushing.
Mel, how come you didn't show up at our last zebra meeting?
Well, to tell you the truth, Mr. Cushing, I'm not very interested in the benevolent order of loyal zebras.
Well, why not? After all, aren't you exalted ruler of the lower level?
Exalted ruler of the lower level. All it means is I'm in charge of sweeping out the cellar. It's okay for you. You're the mighty, supreme, mightiest, exalted ruler, potentate monarch, senior grade.
All right. At our next meeting, I'll see about changing your title. Oh, incidentally, we've got a new password.
Yeah? What is it?
Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga? Hmm. Well, what happened to the old one? Hi, mocha, sai, hungry, heebie, jeebie, alligadabba, sweet cookie.
Well, you know that new member we got, that 75-year-old Mr. Simpson?
Yeah.
Well, he tried to say it and developed lower plate wobble.
Oh, too bad. I like the old one. I could say it faster than any other zebra. Oh, what do you got in this white box, Mr. Cushing?
In here? Oh, I've got Sally in here.
Oh, isn't it kind of stuffy for her?
Oh, no. No, Sally's the name of my fishing rod and reel. Here.
Oh, gosh, I never heard of a man calling a fishing rod and reel Sally.
Well, you should hear what I call her when she lets a big one get away.
Looks like the reel is a little fouled up.
Yes, well, that's why I brought her here, Mel. I want you to fix her up. You see, some of the boys at my real estate office have arranged a fishing trip at Lake Minnewasahaha.
Oh. Hi, Mokasai, hungry, heebie-jeebie, alligator, sweet cookie for... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were giving me the password.
Well, we've got to be very secretive about it because we've told our wives we're going on a business trip. Now, if they find out we're playing hooky, well, you've seen my wife, Mrs. Cushing.
Gosh, yes. I wouldn't want that to happen to me.
What?
Well, I mean, if she finds out about the fishing trip, she'd be awfully mad, and I wouldn't want that to happen.
Yes, well, that's the idea. Now, another thing, Mel. I want you to go out to the lake and go over Mary Lou.
Who's Mary Lou? Sally's sister?
Oh, no. She's the trimmest little motorboat that ever took the water. I want you to check her from stem to stern.
Aye, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, that's fine. And remember, Mel, don't tell a soul. And if you do a good job, perhaps you'll be made exalted ruler of the upper region.
Well, I don't like cleaning up the attic either. But don't worry about the fishing trip. I won't tell a soul.
That's good. You do a good job, and I'll use my influence to make you a big zebra.
Gosh, thanks. Oh, by the way, when do you want Sally? I mean the fishing rod.
Well, bring it to the corner of Market and Maple at 6 tonight. I don't want you coming to the office or the house.
Okay, 6 with Sally, and after that over to the lake for Mary Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like I'm taking care of a girl sorority. Silly.
By the way, Mel, here's a picture of the boat Mary Lou, so you'll recognize her at the lake.
Oh, fine, thanks.
Well, so long, Melvin, my lad. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Yeah, ugga-boo-boo. Ugga.
I don't know. I still like Haimo because I'm hungry. Heebie-jeebie, I'll have a sweet cookie better. Ugga-ugga-boo.
Hello, nephew.
Oh, hello, uncle. Say, where have you been?
Oh, I was upstairs conducting my experiments on quantitative analysis with liquids.
Oh, you were experimenting with water?
Water? Brr, what a horrible word. By the way, what were you discussing with that pompous real estate muckety-muck Cushing?
Oh, he's going on a fishing trip and he doesn't want anyone to know about it. Imagine lying to your own wife.
Despicable, my boy, but sometimes very necessary. I remember my
I hope
wife...
I never have to lie to my girl, Betty.
Hello, Mel.
Oh, speak of the beautiful, and here she is. Hello, Betty.
Mel, do you know what day this is?
Yeah, Tuesday the 8th of October, and you sound like you're catching cold.
That's right. 5 years ago today, you gave me my engagement ring.
Gosh, it only seems like 5 years.
Remember how all the girls turned green with envy?
Yeah, now the ring is the same color.
Well, anyway, darling, I want you to come over for dinner tonight. We'll make it kind of special.
Special?
Yes, Father has promised to treat you like a human being.
Gee, that will be kind of special. I'll be glad to come. Oh, but,
But what, dear?
Well, you see, I have an important job to do, and it may take me all evening.
Oh, Mel, and I was planning such a lovely dinner. Fish.
Fish? Well, that's nice, but, well, you see, this is a big job, and I promise
Well,
that...
I guess business should come first.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, honey.
Well, try to drop by for a minute anyhow, huh?
Yeah, I will, honey.
Okay, bye, dear.
Bye. Oh, darn it.
What is it, nephew?
Oh, Betty wanted me to come over tonight, but I can't. Well, at least it'll make her father feel good.
My lad, you shouldn't kowtow to Betty's father.
I don't kowtow. I mean kowtow to him. As a matter of fact, I'm going over there tonight. And if he says one harsh word to me, you know what I'll do?
What?
I'll listen.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
When a fellow is about to kiss a girl and doesn't, it's time for her to suspect she has a little breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. Don't let unpleasing breath jinx your popularity. Do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
Well, Betty is disappointed that Mel can't have dinner with her on their 5th engagement anniversary. What Betty doesn't know is that she's playing second fiddle to a rod and reel Mel is secretly fixing for Mr. Cushing. Right now, Mel has dropped in for a few minutes at Betty's house.
Hello, Betty. I thought I'd drop in for a minute.
Oh, that's wonderful, Mel. Daddy Mel's here.
What did you say, Mr. Colby? Yeah, it is a nice day, isn't it?
You know, Mel, Father was looking forward to this evening. He even promised to go to the movies with us.
Gee, that would have been swell. We could have stopped by for a soda and walked home in the moonlight, sat on the porch and held hands.
I didn't promise anything like that.
Well, I mean Betty and me.
You know, I gave up a date at the bowling alley for this anniversary.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Colby. I know you spend at least one night a week in the alley.
What?
The bowling alley.
Daddy, stop making Mel nervous. Honey, tell me about this big job you've got tonight.
Oh, the job? Yeah.
Well?
I have a date to meet, Willie Johnson about fixing a card table.
Well, why should it take all evening to fix a card table?
Well,
After I fix it, we might have to play a few games to see if the table works.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Now, Daddy, let's not cross-examine Mel. Here, honey, here are some chocolate cookies I baked. Your favorites, all wrapped up for you.
Gosh, thanks, Betty. Well, now I'd better go. Well, good night, Mr. Colby.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Mr. Colby? Yeah, it is a nice day, isn't it? Well, goodbye, Betty.
Goodbye, dear.
Betty, come here. Did I hear Mel say he was going to see Willie Johnson?
Yes, why?
That's funny. I met Mrs. Johnson at the market today, and she said her son Willie is in New York and is going to stay there.
Yes, but Mel said...
I'll answer that. Hello?
Oh, hello, Mel. Huh? Your uncle told me I'd find you at Betty's house. Now, just answer yes or no, because I don't want that big baboon Betty's father to catch on.
Okay.
Well, now listen. About our date, we have to change our plans. My wife gummed up the works.
Very interesting. I mean, yes.
Now listen. My girl will pick you up on the corner of Market and Maple. And don't forget to bring Sally.
Sally, huh? I mean, yes. Anything else?
No. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo-boo, ugga. Goodbye.
So that's the way things are.
Where was it, Father?
Boy, was I right about that innocent-looking boyfriend of yours. Come on.
Well, where are we going?
To Market and Maple. And if what I think is true, somebody's going to get an ugga-ugga-boo over his head.
There all alone. Oh, this is silly.
Well, maybe it is. But we'll sit right here and see who he's waiting for. I don't think it will be Willie Johnson.
I wonder what's keeping Mr. Cushing. These cookies are good. Gosh, when it comes to sweet stuff, there's only one girl in the world for me.
Oh, yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo!
Are you, yoo-hooing me?
Yes, come on over here and don't be so bashful.
Well, look, I'm waiting for someone.
Oh, come now. Come on over to the car.
Well, yeah, but...
That's better.
Have a cookie?
I'm Grace, Mr. Cushing's secretary.
Oh, and I thought...
Well, I'm not that kind of a girl.
That's good. I'm not that kind of a boy.
Mr. Cushing dropped by at the office, so I'm here to pick up his favorite fishing rod, Sally. Is it ready?
Sure. Here you are.
Oh, yes. And about that job on the boat, that can wait till tomorrow morning.
Say, that's great. Look, will you do me a favor? Drop me off at my girl's house?
Of course. Get in.
Good. I thought I wouldn't be able to see her tonight. Now maybe I can.
Daddy, did you see that Mel and that girl?
Willie Johnson's getting better looking every day.
Meeting girls on the corner and on our anniversary, too.
Why, that fox.
You mean wolf.
No fox. They work faster. Bullard, I'm going to break every bone in that boy's body.
Oh.
Oh, now what are you sniffling about?
I want you to do it, but I love those bones so much.
Oh, I know.
Gosh, I feel like a heel lying to Betty last night. Well, I promised Mr. Cushing to keep it a secret.
Oh, Melvin, my boy.
Huh?
Zookie wants to know if you need him today.
Zookie? Say, that's it. That's what I'm going to do.
What, nephew?
I'm going to send Zookie out to Lake Minnewasahaha to fix that boat. Yes, sir, and I'm going to spend all day with Betty. After all, Zookie knows engines inside out.
Yes, and it's a pity he leaves them that way.
It's in and in and in and in. Nice working out here on the lake. In the shade of the old apple. In the shade of the old apple. Cocktails for two. Hey, I like being on a boat. Yeah, I like the water. This is it. Sailing. Over the bee. My stomach feels funny.
Well, sir.
Hello. How are you getting on with that engine? I didn't expect Mel to send an assistant.
Oh, it's okay, Mr. Cushing. Listen, I'll erase the motor. 120 horsepower. 80 horsepower. 20 horsepower. 1 jackass.
Now, hurry along. Hurry along. I want the Mary Lou to be right on the beam when the other boys get there.
Oh, sure. I dream of Jeannie with a light I dream of Jeannie with a light and may all your Christmases be white.
Left the shop looking for you this morning, Betty.
Oh, he did, Uncle Rupert?
Maybe that's him now. Would you answer it?
Yeah, all right. Hello, Mel Blanc's Fix-A Shop.
Oh, Betty, this is
Yes. What is it, Zookie?
How'd you know it was me? Hey, will you tell Mel that I did what he told me, and everything's all right now with him and Mary Lou?
Mary Lou.
Oh, she was ready to blow a gasket when I got here. but now I got a purring like a kitten.
Rookie, are you sure you know?
Oh, yes. Just the same, Mel better come out and see him, me and Mary Lou, the first chance he gets. Oh, goodbye.
Rookie.
Betty, my dear, what is it?
First Sally, now Mary Lou. How many girls has he got?
Oh, Betty, there must be some mistake.
And I came here hoping I was wrong about him. Well, I never want to see him again, never. And you can tell him that, Uncle Rupert.
Mel playing around with the women? Why, I'd never have thought of him. Who does he think he is? Me? Where the devil is that lad, anyway? Uh-oh. Here comes Dr. Crabb, the dog doctor. Hello, Christopher. How's the good dog doctor today?
Consultant veterinarian, if you don't mind.
What's the matter with you?
I keep telling you, there's nothing the matter with me. Got a catch in the throat. Please, could I have a pan of water?
Look, Christopher, we're having all sorts of trouble. I'm trying to locate Mel.
Oh, I ran across Mel in the park while I was walking my little terrier.
You saw Mel? Where was he going?
You know I'm worried about that little terrier. She came down with the shingles. How could she have gotten them shingles?
Maybe she had a priority.
That is not a joke. Oh, see Mel fix that leash for me. How'd he do it?
Oh, he just used a piece of tin.
What?
Tin. Like in Rin Tin Tin.
Oh, Rin Tin Tin.
Uncle Rupert, what are you talking about? What girls?
I don't know, my lad, but you'd better get over to Petty's house right away.
Girls, girls. I don't know anything about girls.
Well, I can't have a man-to-man talk with you now.
Oh, but you know I don't have anything to do with girls. Except for Betty. I love her, so I don't think of her as a girl.
Nephew, I'd better take you aside and have a man-to-man talk with you right now.
Oh, how did I get into a mess like this?
The best thing for you to do, my lad, is pour your heart out to Betty. Tell her the only sin you've committed was that of being a man.
I refuse to tell her any such lie.
Mel?
Betty, what's the matter?
As angry as I am for what you've done, I had to come down here. You know that silver-handled cane you gave my father for his birthday?
Yes, and he never even used it.
Well, he's going to use it now. He's coming down here to beat you up with it.
Oh, he can't do that. Does he realize how much that cane costs? Oh, Betty, this is ridiculous.
Is it ridiculous with Sally and Mary Lou?
Oh, I haven't gone out with girls. Sally is a fishing rod and Mary Lou is a boat.
Oh, Mel, if you think I believe that, you must take me for an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, no. Oh, look, if you don't believe me, ask the boat. I mean, ask Mr. Cushing. It's his Sally. I mean, it's Mary Lou's fishing reel. Oh, what am I saying?
Melvin, here's that picture of the Mary Lou.
Oh, the picture. That's wonderful. Uncle, you saved my life. Look, Betty, this'll explain everything. This picture was taken when Mr. Cushing caught the biggest trout of the season.
Huh?
Yeah, that's Sally in his hand, the fishing rod. And you see the name on the boat? Mary Lou.
What? Oh, that's what it does say. Oh, Mel. Oh, Daddy and I thought... Oh, Daddy.
Mel Blank.
Mr. Colby. Mr. Colby, why are you staring at me like that?
I'm looking for a spot that has the most bones.
Well, stop looking at my head.
Oh. Young man, when I get through with you, you're going to be the most horrible-looking mess anybody ever saw.
Well, that's nothing. You always say I look like that anyway.
What? Come here, my boy. I'm not going to hurt you.
No. Oh, you missed me.
I want this time. Please.
Oh, Mr. Cushing, am I glad to see you.
What's going on here? Somebody being initiated?
Oh, boy, am I glad you came. Quick, tell Mr. Colby about Mary Lou and Sally before he kills me.
Well, I don't know what all the trouble's about, but Sally is my fishing rod and Mary Lou is my boat, which I asked Mel to fix for me. And a very fine job he did, too.
Well, I'll be... Oh, Mel, why didn't you say so?
Well, I couldn't tell you. I promised Mr. Cushing to keep it a secret. That's what caused this whole trouble.
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, Mel, we didn't have to be secretive about the whole thing all along.
What?
No. It seems the trip was something the fellas arranged as a surprise party for me, and my wife was in on it all the time.
She was.
Yes. Mel, why are you staring at me like that?
Mel, put down that cat.
Mel, remember, I'm a zebra. Okay.
Back in a minute with a Zookyism.
Use Colgate toothpowder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate toothpowder.
What makes a blonde suddenly less fond of a fellow? Well, often it's because he has a little breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. No man should let this breath of trouble mark him down socially. What to do? Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Well, we had quite a time when I tried to pull the wool over Betty's eyes. I hope it served as a lesson to you, Zuki.
Yes, Zuki. Every experience has a moral. Just what did you learn?
Well, I learned that you should always speak the truth. You should always speak the honest truth. You should always speak the truth. Silence is golden.
This is Bud Easton reminding you that Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. Say hello to Halo Shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Halo lets hair sparkle with natural brilliance. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather to quickly carry away loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo Shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
The Mel Blanc Show was written by David Victor and Herb Little, Jr. and was produced and directed by Joe Ryan. Ladies and gentlemen, your local community chests are out to raise the largest amount of money in their history. The funds will be used in wise, friendly, neighborly services for the handicapped, the helpless aged, the sick, and children in need. Please give as generously as you can to your community chest. You cannot support a worthier, more needed agency for welfare than your local community chest.
Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Mel Blanc Show on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from that short-lived series from October 8, 1946. At the time on the air, it was heard at 8:30 at night. If you were an L.A. listener, you could have tuned in to it via KNX. With some relatively popular shows at the time in direct competition, like Rudy Valley's Variety Hour and the hard-boiled detective show The Falcon. Other comedy programs on the radio that day included The Henry Morgan Show, The Raleigh Program featuring Red Skelton, Fibber McGee and Molly, and The Amos and Andy Show. It's an hour of golden age of radio sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for The Bickersons. At the time this episode was airing, it was considered to be a summer replacement show on CBS, the final for their season from August 21st, 1951.
Philip Morris presents The Bickersons, produced, broadcast, and transcribed from Hollywood, starring Francis Langford and Lou Parker. They fight, they yell, they squabble and squawk, but they love each other as much as any married couple in the world. That's Francis Langford and Lou Parker, stars of Philip Rapp's humorous creation, The Bickersons. And here is John Bickerson himself, Lou Parker.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening. Before we don the gloves for our weekly Bickerson bout, I'd like to present my marital sparring partner in another role. Here she is, your purple heart girlfriend, Miss Frances Langford.
Thank you.
Franny, we received a lot of requests this week from servicemen at the Oak Knoll Hospital in Oakland. The fellows would like to hear you sing Beyond the Blue Horizon.
It's my pleasure, Lou. So with the help of Tony Romano and his orchestra, this is for you, boys.
The blue horizon waits a beautiful day. Goodbye to things that bore me. Joy is waiting for me. I see a new horizon. My life is only begun.
Let's join Francis Langford and Lou Parker as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon is Over.
Every morning it's the same thing. Rush, rush, rush. Get up at 7 and make breakfast for you, then clear the things away, straighten the house, make the bed, do the shopping, do the laundry. Why can't I have a maid, John? John!
Hmm?
John Bickerson. How can you fall asleep at the breakfast table?
It ain't easy with all that talking going on. Wake me in 5 minutes, Blanche.
Take your face out of the oatmeal and sit up straight.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
I don't know why I bother to make breakfast for you anyway. You never eat it. What's wrong with the oatmeal, John?
Too lumpy.
How do you know? You didn't taste it.
Didn't have to taste it. I got a lump on my head.
It's got it all over your clothes, too. You can't go to work looking like that. Go in and change your suit.
What for? My other suit looks worse.
No, it doesn't. I had it cleaned.
Clean? You had no right to do that. Who told you to have my suit cleaned?
What's wrong with you, John? There was a big stain on the lapel. It was filthy.
What do you mean, filthy? That was a bourbon stain. I've been saving it for months.
What for?
In case there's liquor rationing, I don't want to be caught short. Where's my hat, Blanche? I've got a big day ahead of me, and I'm so tired, I can't keep my eyes open.
Well, it's your own fault if you're tired every morning. Your snoring keeps you awake.
You keep me awake.
It amounts to the same thing. Your snoring wakes me up, and I wake you up to stop it. Why don't you have an operation?
What are you talking about? There's no operation to cure snoring.
Yes, there is. I cut an article out of the paper about a snore doctor. His name is Dr. Rasper.
Dr. Rasper?
He was the head of surgery at a goat clinic in Salzburg.
Goats don't snore.
I know they don't. He just used them for experiments. Can't hurt you to let him try, can it?
Blanche, I can't afford any operations. I haven't had a single order in 3 weeks.
Well, maybe there's an order in that letter that came for you.
What letter?
It arrived yesterday. It's in a big, fat, official-looking envelope.
Well, why didn't you tell me yesterday?
I wasn't talking to you yesterday.
Where is it? Where's the letter?
I sent it back to the post office.
Blanche, that letter might contain a big order. What did you send it back for?
There was 28 cents postage due on it, and I didn't want to break a dollar. Pick it up on your way to work.
Lend me 28 cents for the postage due.
Here. Now, John, you've got to promise me that you'll go through with the operation to cure your snoring.
Oh, forget about that quack doctor.
He's not a quack. Just listen to what the newspaper
says. I haven't time.
It'll only take a minute. Listen. Dr. Hugo Rasper, eminent respiratory surgeon, has accepted a residency at Park Haven Hospital.
Mm.
The doctor, a former goat specialist, attained national prominence through his many experiments on snoring. Among his most celebrated patients were the late Lord Martin, the late Charles Canterbury, and the late Countess... John, where are you going?
I'm going out of here before you make me the late John Bickerson.
I was down at the market shopping. I never saw such prices. Can you lend me some eggs, Blanche?
You were down at the market. Why didn't you buy some?
At 93 cents a dozen?
That's what we pay. I don't lay them myself, you know.
Forget about the eggs. What are you putting on those old rags for?
I've got to see a doctor.
What's wrong with you?
Not me. It's John. Clara, does Barney ever disturb you in the middle of the night?
Terribly. He sleeps with a smile on his face. If I ever find out who he's dreaming about, I'll kill him.
Well, John snores, and he's driving me mad. I'm going to arrange to have him operated on.
Who are you going to? Dr. Hersey?
No, Dr. Rasper. He's a surgeon who just arrived in town, and there's a whole article in today's paper about his new operation to cure snorers.
Dr. Hersey's going to be terribly hurt. All these years, you've sort of been promising him John's nose, and here you are giving it to a perfect stranger.
Well, Dr. Rasper's a specialist. Dr. Hersey can have any other part of John he wants. I just want this snoring operation to be perfect.
Doesn't sound good to me.
Well, listen, Clara, in case I get detained at the hospital, would you kind of look in on our animals?
Well, what do you feed them?
Well, the canary gets tomato juice, the goldfish gets hamburger, and the cat gets a can of Puss in Boots.
You give that to the cat? I've been feeding it to Barney.
Does he like it?
Loves it. And you ought to see the way his eyes shine in the dark.
Well, I've got to go and make arrangements for the doctor now.
Blanche, look, I don't want to mix in, but do you think John will agree to be operated on? You know how he always screams about money.
Yes, but there's a special delivery letter for him at the post office, and John seemed to think it was a big order. He gets a commission on every bowling ball he sells, you know.
But an operation might cost hundreds of dollars.
Well, Dr. Rasper has a convenient credit plan, and the way it works is that you're completely healed the day you make your last payment.
Uh-huh.
Now, suppose this big order is for, say, 20 bowling balls a week.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it take John to make $300 if his commission is a cent and a half a ball?
I don't know, but it seems like an awful long time for a man to have his nose in a sling.
Next. You got a special delivery letter here for John Bickerson?
Oh, you want the dead letter window. You're on the wrong line.
I've been on 6 lines. Dead letters, stamps, parcel posts, registered letters, money orders, and complaint department. I've been kicked back and forth in this building like a used Republican.
Would you mind lowering your voice? Part of our civil service examination is a hearing test.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, it is. I happen to be a government employee, you know.
I don't care if you're Margaret Truman. I'm a taxpayer.
This is not the Bureau of Internal Revenue.
There's a lot of things it's not, including a post office. Yeah. But there's a special delivery letter here for me, and I'm going to get it. Why did you break our weighing scale? I didn't break it. It must have been weak. Now, where's my letter? And don't tell me you haven't got it, or I'll have you arrested for robbing the mail.
I'm looking for your letter now.
Wasted a whole morning in this broken-down post office.
Oh, here we are. Homer Fickett.
Bickerson's the name. John Bickerson.
Sorry, nothing with that name.
What about that one on top? That looks like my name. Let me see it. It is mine. If I've lost out on a big order on account of your stupidity... What the devil is this?
Looks like an advertising circular.
Dear fellow sufferer, Dr. Rasper can end your snoring forever.
And now once again, here are Francis Langford and Lou Parker as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. Well, even the persistent dripping of water will eventually wear away a stone. So after 7 years of cycloid insomnia, or blaster's reaction, John Bickerson has finally yielded to Blanche's demands and consented to allow a specialist to relieve his condition. Outside his room at the Park Haven Hospital, Blanche Bickerson has a last-minute conversation with Dr. Rasper. Listen.
He's all right, Mrs. Bickerson. The nurse is giving him a sedative now.
Nothing can go wrong, can it, Dr. Rasper?
He won't be in surgery over 15 minutes, and there's absolutely no danger whatever.
What causes a man to snore like that, Doctor?
Well, he's a mouth breather, very likely suffering from Klinefelter-Stürter, a respiratory disorder resulting from a post-pharyngeal condition. Does he drink anything?
Anything. The operation won't hurt, will it?
Not the slightest. All we have to do is take a stitch in his palate and shorten his uvula.
Well, I hate to bring this up now, Dr. Rasper, but how much will it cost?
The fee will be $50 with the anesthetic.
How much is it without the anesthetic?
I should say about $40, but I wouldn't advise the operation without it.
All right, Dr. Rasper.
I think you better run along, Mrs. Bickerson. It's past midnight. He's got to get a good night's rest, and you can come and see him in the morning.
Well, I'll just look in on him to make sure he's sleeping.
Very well. Good night, Mrs. Bickerson.
Good night, Doctor. Sounds like he left one of his goats here. Isn't that awful? Dear, I must see that he gets a good night's rest. John, wake up.
What's the matter, Blanche? What's the matter?
How can you sleep like that?
I cleaned the kitchen, I plucked the canary, I scaled the goldfish, and I milked the cat. Everything's taken care of. Let me sleep.
John, what are you talking about? We're in the hospital.
Who's sick?
Nobody's sick. You're going to have an operation. Dr. Rasper's going to shorten your uvula in the morning.
Then what did you wake me up now for?
Well, you were snoring. I was afraid you'd wear it off before I got a chance to operate.
I don't know why I let you talk me into this. Who made that broken-down Dr. Rasper such an authority on... Stop cranking the bed up. What are you doing, Blanche?
You weren't sleeping properly, and I'm supposed to see that you get a good night's rest.
I was sleeping fine. Why did you tilt me like this?
I was afraid the snores would roll down your throat and poison you.
Blanche, will you please crank me down?
You keep your voice down, John Bickerson. You're disturbing the other patients. I still don't know why you have to have an operation to cure your snoring.
I didn't want it. You've been working on me for 7 years to do it.
I'm beginning to think it's a waste of money. I could have used that $50. Still walking around in a short dress.
What are you beefing about? Tomorrow I'll be walking around in a short uvula. Put out the lights.
You mustn't excite yourself, dear. Open your mouth.
What for?
Just hand me that thermometer. I want to take your temperature.
Blanche, they took my temperature 8 different ways.
Well, I'm going to check it again before we go to sleep.
We? Blanche, what are you doing in your nightgown? You're not going to sleep here, are you?
Yes, I am. It only costs $5 extra to have that cop moved in here, and that silly night nurse gets $10 a day.
What about it?
Well, I'm going to take her place and save the money. Now, open your mouth like a good boy. There. Keep that thermometer in there while I check your pulse. There isn't any nurse that can do anything that I can. There, your pulse is normal. It's steady as clockwork.
You've got your fingers on my wristwatch.
You shouldn't be wearing a wristwatch. Not good to have constriction when you're sleeping. Let me see that thermometer.
Here. What does it say?
Murphy's Bar and Grill. What was this swizzle stick doing in that glass?
I had them deliver me a highball. If you think that hot water bottle is full of hot water, you're out of your mind.
If Dr. Rasper knew about this, he wouldn't operate on you.
Why don't you tell him? I'd love it.
Now, please don't get excited, dear. It's my job to see that you get a good night's rest, and I'm not going to let anything disturb you.
Well, put out the lights.
I want to be sure that you have the right sleeping position. Now, stretch your feet out a little more. And move over in the center. Don't bury your head that way. There. Are you comfortable?
Fine.
Relax?
Hmm.
Will you be able to sleep well?
Sleep well.
That's fine. Now, get up and unpack my bag.
Your bag? I thought you were putting me to sleep.
I was just testing. Unpack my bag, John.
Why don't you unpack it?
I have to refill this hot water bottle.
I don't need any hot water bottle.
Not for you, it's for me.
What?
I still have a little indigestion from those clams I ate for dinner.
Yeah.
You always take me to those cheap restaurants. Whole dinner disagreed with me.
It wouldn't dare.
Now, don't start getting irritable. I've done plenty for you, so you can do something for me. Unpack my bag, John.
Where's my slipper? Did you bring my slipper?
It's under the bed in that little foot bath.
Foot bath? Big nurse. Look at the size of this suitcase. What did you bring it for? We're only staying one night.
You never can tell. Put the stuff away.
There's no closet. Where'll I put these dresses?
In the drawers.
What do you want these drawers?
In the dresser.
Okay, now I can get some. Blanche!
Crank me up, John.
What are you doing in my bed? I'm the one who's getting operated on. You have no right to be in my bed eating fruit and candy. Maybe you'd like me to send you some flowers.
No, but tell the floor nurse I can have visitors between 2 and 4 tomorrow. I'll feel better then.
Am I supposed to sleep in that old wooden cot?
Yes, it's easier to watch over you from here.
Nothing but a spring on this cot, not even a mattress.
Well, that'll keep you off your back and you won't snore tonight. Just crawl between the blankets. I want you to be well rested for the operation.
Put out the lights.
In a minute. Was everything all right at the house when you left?
Fine.
I would have checked things myself if I didn't have to prepare you for your admission here. Maybe I should have stayed home. John, I'm worried about the house.
Don't worry.
I think I left the electric heater on in the bathroom. It might burn the place up.
Won't burn.
Did you turn it off?
No.
Well, how do you know it won't start a fire?
I left the water running in the bathtub. Oh, stop popping your topper. I checked everything.
You should have taken the animals with us.
Mm.
Poor little canary is locked in the cage, and cat can't get out of the house, and who's going to feed the goldfish? I'll bet they're terribly unhappy.
Oh, they're not unhappy. They're having a fine vacation.
They are not.
They are, too. When I left, the cat was fishing.
Fishing? Where?
In the goldfish bowl, and he was using the canary for bait.
What?
The canary and the goldfish are fine, and I wish the cat would drop dead.
Why are you so mean?
I'm not mean. I'm full of those sleeping pills, and I can't keep my eyes open. Now, put out the lights.
I'll be through in a minute.
Blanche, why are you plucking your eyebrows at this time of night?
I'm not plucking my eyebrows. I'm taking off my false eyelashes.
False eyelashes? I didn't know you had bald eyelids.
My eyelids are not bald. It's just that my lashes are short and they don't bring out my eyes. Lots of women use false eyelashes.
Well, throw them away. You don't need anything to bring out your eyes.
I do, too.
You do not. I'm satisfied with the way they bulge now. Are you going to let me get some sleep?
Yes, dear. Just close your eyes. I'm going to read the paper for a little while.
Read the paper?
There's certainly a lot of activity in Washington. What's all this tax reduction talk?
Talk.
Listen to what Senator said.
Blanche, I read the paper, every word of it. Read it to yourself.
Don't be so disagreeable. Dr. Rasper told me to keep you occupied so you won't think about the operation.
All I'm thinking about is sleep.
That's a good boy. Mustn't get nervous.
Hmm.
You see what's happening to the stock market?
It's going to pieces.
Well, why can't we get a piece of it?
Put away the paper, Blanche.
What's the name of that stock you bought last year?
I told you 50 times. Kentucky Saltpeter Mines. Preferred.
can't even find it listed on the stock page.
Look in the help wanted column.
Oh, listen to this. Here's a story about a doctor who left a pair of scissors inside...
Blanche, will you stop reading to me? Nervous and jittery about the operation, and I can't stand the sound of your voice.
I can just hear you making those insulting remarks to Gloria Gooseby.
Now, don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
You wouldn't bite her head off like that without her squealing all over the place.
I always bite her, and she never squeals.
What?
This is one night I don't want to hear about it.
Hush up and go to sleep.
Go to sleep, she tells me. In the morning, they're going to cut out my uvula. Steams me up about Gloria... What's that?
It's the telephone. Answer it.
Why don't you answer it? It's right next to your bed.
I'm not supposed to be here. Might be the hospital superintendent, and I don't want him to find out. Go on and answer it.
Can't even get any rest in a hospital. Hello?
Mrs. Kimford?
Huh?
The maternity nurse asked me to call you. You can get ready now. They're bringing your baby in for his 1 o'clock feeding.
What?
Isn't this room 413?
I don't know what it is, but I'm not feeding any baby. What kind of a hospital is this? I'm going to get out of here.
Now, don't go getting hysterical. Just relax.
How can I relax?
Well, I'm doing my best to see that you get a good night's sleep. I'm so worried I won't be able to close my eyes tonight.
What are you worried about? I thought you said it was only a minor operation.
Well, I don't care about that. I'm worried about Nature Boy.
Who's Nature Boy?
The cat. How is he going to get out tonight?
What does he want to get out for?
John, don't you know it's impossible for certain creatures to be shut up for the night?
How well I know it. Why don't you go to sleep, Blanche?
I can't sleep. I must find out if the cat's all right. Maybe you ought to call him, John.
Okay, what'll I call him?
No, I mean, call him on the telephone.
Have you gone stark, staring mad, Blanche? How can I call a cat on the telephone?
He'll know it's us, and the ringing of the phone will comfort him. Go on, call Nature Boy. It won't cost anything.
Nobody would believe this. Calling a cat at 3 o'clock in the morning. Get me State 7-9970.
State 7-9970. Thank you.
How much can a man stand of this sort of stuff before he cracks up?
Oh, don't be so tragic. A lot of people call their pets up. Any sound in the house to break the monotony makes them feel better.
Sure.
There's no answer. Shall I keep ringing?
Just a minute. How many times you wanted to ring, Blanche?
You sure she has the right number?
Operator, you sure it's the right number?
I'll try it again.
Hello, Nature Boy?
Huh?
Are you all right?
Fine.
Good. I left a big dish of catnip under the sink. Don't touch the canary.
Okay.
Goodbye. There, the cat feels fine. Blanche! Who answered that phone?
I thought you were kidding. Did somebody answer?
It must have been the wrong number.
You think so, John?
Of course I think so. Don't start making you believe that a cat can talk. Blanche, I can't stand any more of this. I'm going home.
You get right back in that bed. Dr. Rasper will never forgive me if you run out on
him. I don't care. I don't trust that doctor, and I don't believe he knows what he's doing. I'm getting out of here.
You are not. Everything's been prepared. The surgery, the nurses, the anesthetic. They'll think you're crazy, John.
Blanche, it won't work, I tell you. There's no operation that can cure snoring. The guy's a fake. What's he charging you?
$50.
Blanche, I appeal to your sense of economy. I'm a perfectly healthy guy. Never been sick a day in my life. That snoring operation won't work, and we'll be out $50.
We won't be out a penny. I made a deal with Dr. Rasper.
What deal?
If the operation isn't a success, he's going to take out your liver and appendix for nothing.
Good night, Blanche.
Good night.
And now, here are John and Blanche Bickerson as Francis Langford and Lou Parker.
Say, Lou, I was talking to your wife yesterday, and she told me you just bought a big ranch out in the valley.
That's right, Francis. You know, my wife is a city girl, and she doesn't know as much about ranch life as I do. We'd like you to come out and see the place, though.
I'd love to see it, Lou.
Well, it's only half an acre, but it's got good grass on it, and our livestock is thriving.
Livestock? What have you got, chickens?
No.
Pigs? Cows?
Oh, nothing like that.
Well, what kind of livestock are you raising?
Gophers.
Good night.
Good night, Francis. Good night, everyone.
Be sure to listen next Tuesday night when Philip Morris again will present The Bickersons. And don't miss the Philip Morris Playhouse this coming Thursday night over this same station when Philip Morris will present An Inspector Calls. That's Thursday night for the Philip Morris Playhouse over CBS. In the meantime, don't forget to...
Call for Philip Murray!
The Dickersons came to you transcribed from Hollywood, California. Tonight's cast included Shirley Mitchell, Peter Leeds, and John Brown. This is John Holbrook speaking.
The Bickersons, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from the 21st of August, 1951. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.